Miss Shepherd, reel 5.
Did people ever write to you for advice and say, I should like to fly in a balloon, can you help me?
Mm-hmm. No, because I think they used to go along for professional training. And you see, I couldn't spare the time. I couldn't spare the time for that. I couldn't be an instructor. I was an instructor when I was on the field, but not apart from that. I wasn't a professional instructress. Oh, no.
Did you ever go up in an airplane at that time?
No, but I went up directly, directly airplanes started. Mm-hmm. I went up only as a passenger.
Were you ever interested in flying?
Oh, yes.
Becoming a pilot?
No, not becoming, because I couldn't afford it. See, in those days you had to be able to afford to spend quite a lot of money in all kinds of things. And in as I say, if you damaged anyone's field, you see, you have to pay so much. So you had to have a lot of money to be able to fly, like Brabazon Moore and all those people. Well, no, it was quite an expensive hobby then, like Graham White and... The day I went off Box Hill, Graham White was flying to Manchester.
Were there other young women going up in balloons at FETs like you were?
There were four. I think there were four girls. Viola Cavanna, Flo Lusby, Miss Brooks. Miss Brooks was killed. Viola Cavanna was killed. And the others were men. Captain Smith was killed. Eames was killed. Although I think there were 8 of us, and I was that used to do it. To see, and we practically all, you took your life in your hands. So you, if you survived, you were quite all right. It was really just that. Really, nothing much in it.
When it was winter, or when you were not going up in a balloon, you were working in your aunt's
feather factory. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, that must have been quite a contrast.
It was. But you see, as I used to have this pricey sum, the girls, if they wanted anything, some of them would want some kind of furniture or something, I would buy them something. I always used to beat the girls.
When you flew, when you went up in balloons, did you have a mascot?
A what?
A mascot, or any sort of good luck?
No, I used to have, just on my necklace, if I got one there, I used to always wear that. Where are we? No, not that. Yes, have you got the big one there? It's in the red case there. I used to wear that necklace, but it was so funny. In those days, it was like a swastika, but it was the other way about. Yes, it was quite a different... Oh, we... Didn't you waste your... It looks like a swastika, but it isn't. It made the opposite way... It's the exact opposite.
I see, yes.
But that was the only thing. But I didn't... I never reckoned it as a mascot. I never reckoned it as a mascot at all. Now, you see, you can see me quite clearly there, hanging on with the one hand...
Yes, that's at Alexandra Palace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was
Now that was the time you said the balloon was not full enough.
That was hot, and it was going getting out. See, and the man hadn't turned up. Whether he got cold feet or not, I don't know. But the people recognised me in the crowd and said, "Oh, Miss Shepherd's here. You see, will you?" So I had to do it, and that's my skirt tucked between my legs.
You were wearing your normal clothes, of course.
Normal clothes. I just pulled my skirt up with a big safety pin and went up. Otherwise it would have been flopped, you see. It would have been a pity. But it was going out fast. Yeah, so that's
Cody,
that.
Cody was killed in August 1913.
He was killed in...
1913.
Yes, I think it was.
Did that have anything to do with your stopping going up?
No, it was just that, as I say. It might have been in my mind, but it was just that. I know. I think I was as much surprised as the people on the ground, because I still had some more contracts to do. But I just wondered, I thought, oh, well, what's that? Because I'd had two or three, you know, nasty things at the time. I mean, I've had especially big bumps, but the one I thought it would be, the chute didn't open until I was about 10 feet from the ground, and that time I landed in a potato field that had been just dug up, so it made a nice soft bed for me. That was quite all right. Someone came along and gave me some brandy, and I was all right. No, I never used to suffer from any shock. I used to be very strong, but from most of the places that I went up, if I had any incidents, as I did at Monmouth, I was hanging over the tree. I was hanging over the tree for quite a long time, and couldn't get down, and they had to throw a rope over one tree and then throw a rope to me, and I had to swing from one to the other, because the tree I was on, it had rotten branches, and that was over a canal. The trees were there, and they swung this rope over here then, and so I got down. But it was a particularly nasty time. And then some people, the Bishop of Hereford had been following me, and a boyfriend, well, the mayor's son, he had followed me, and he had a half a bottle of champagne. So we sat down and had half a bottle of champagne between us.
You and your boyfriend and the bishop?
No, not the bishop. No. The bishop saw that I had someone then. Oh, dear. No, that was at Monmouth in Wales. Monmouth Mayhill. Oh, yes.
When you went up in the balloon, did you look down at the ground or did you look out?
Well, you'd wait until you just got through the clouds and then pull and come through the clouds, you see, and they used to love that.
Because then you would disappear.
I'd disappear, then they were looking out, you see. If it was a calm day, so that there's hardly a movement, we say now there's hardly a movement in the sky, well, I'd come through the clouds, you see, and that was the thrill they wanted.
But when you were up in the balloon, you looked down at them?
Oh, yes, always looked down. You looked down at the crowd, you see. But then after that, after you'd lost sight of the crowd, then you looked where you were going. But then, as I say, I used to say, you know, oh, isn't it lovely here? Isn't it lovely and silent, beautiful? You know, I just to exclaim that to myself. You know, the beauty of the beauty of it up there. No one knows unless they've been, really. That calm, sereneness.
Mm-hmm. I guess you had no fear of heights.
Oh, no. No, and yet I used to be terrified if I got onto a six-foot ladder, I'd be terrified, I'd wobble like that. And yet, when my feet wasn't touching the ground, you see, it was when my feet were not touching the ground, it was quite all right. But I found that when my feet was touching anything, I would get giddy.
Did you take part in any other sports? Swimming or horseback
riding? Horseback riding, oh yes, because we used to do a lot of it. In those days it wasn't, but there was just horses and traps and horses. I used to ride a lot of bareback riding then, you know, daredevil riding. Not in any races or anything like that, but just for fun. And we had our own pony and trap, you see, and it was normal living in those days to have a pony and trap. And then naturally you just run round and get on the horse's back, and I used to have to go and catch the pony and bring him round and put him in the harness. Oh yes, harness. Swimming, no. I did swim, yes, but I used to do reverse actions. To see me swim was a joy, really. It was fun. Because directly I can do quite all right. They used to laugh at me because I'd start out and do quite all right, but my legs would put the brake on. And so I'd swim quite in a bath, a swimming bath or in the sea, I'd swim for such a long time, but I'd stay almost where I was because I was putting my, you know, just couldn't do it. No, I wasn't a great swimmer.
Did you find your friends among the people who were doing ballooning and horse riding and so on, or did you have suitable friends that your aunt chose?
I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of friends. And, of course, I had a lot of friends from the places. I used to always had people that were coming up to London wanting to take me up to the theatre and things like that. One boy, my friend, one boy was a very wealthy man too, came up to ask my aunt, who I told you was very strict, and she hated anything to do with ballooning, and he came into the showroom, and I said, he wanted to take me to the theatre. And so I said, it's no good, I know my aunt won't let me go. So he came in, he said, I don't think there's anyone would do that. So he came in and asked her if he could take me to theatre, and she said, I don't want anything to do with any of her friends of this mountebank stunt, you see, as she called it. And, you know, with his cane, he knocked the electric light, you know, pop, pop, pop. Oh, I thought I'd have died. And he put a pound down and that was for the lights, and he walked out. I never lived that down. But no, I used to have a lot of friends that I made quite a lot of friends.
1913, early 1914.
But I'm the last one of them. There's no one left now, none of the old ones left now.
In 1913, early 1914, did you have any idea that there was a war coming?
No, not until June, I think it was about June. And then I had a boy who was in the yeomanry, and Auntie had a friend, because my aunt had married a German, you see, like Queen Victoria had married a German. And my boyfriend was there, and Auntie was there, and this German friend of hers was there. And she said, there's talk of war, do you think we'll have a war? So he said, yes, yes, yes. Oh, we shall capture your country. You will all be Germans. Well, of course, Auntie had married a German, you see, Queen Victoria. Because when the police, afterwards, she had to register, you see, because she'd married a German. And when the police said to her, why did you marry a German? She said, well, why did Queen Victoria marry a German? You see, it was just that. But he had some inkling, only then, you see. And then, of course, directly the war started. On the 8th of August, I joined up because, as I told you, the Women's Emergency Corps, it was called Emergency Corps, and I joined up then, went up part-time to this school in Baker Street somewhere, and we had to have anything for emergency. It was called the Emergency Corps then, but later on they shifted it to the Women's Volunteer Reserve. See, we had, well, I think I told you, you know, that we had, I think you've got it, I think.
Was your aunt's feather trade affected by the war?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She was such an optimist because she thought the war, she said, oh, the war will only last until Christmas, so she kept all the girls on and ruined herself, really, because she kept them on. It was a luxurious trade, you see, a luxury trade, and there was nothing doing. She kept them on. And, of course, she had to let them go at Lartic because it went on and on and on, and she became ill in herself. So, of course, she had to go and live in private.
Was her German husband still alive?
Oh, no. Oh, no, he was dead a long time before. I don't know, about 8 or 9 years before the war.
What did you think of Germans, since her husband was German?
Well, I thought they were quite all right. I mean, we had no reason to think otherwise. We knew very well that, you know, the Kaiser had been over to England, and we knew very well that Edward didn't think very much of him. You know, when he was Prince of Wales, when George the Seventh, wasn't it? George the Seventh. Yes, I think he had a. I think he boxed his ears because he was talking about something about, you know, England would become German one of these days. But no, we didn't think very much. You see, we were far from wars. It isn't like now that you're in the midst of anything. No planes or things like that. Life was much better, really. There was such a dignity about it. And so happy.
Did you find...